Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beats. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and we do appreciate you tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. Tonight, I've got a pair of guests in the studio. We're going to hear some great original music. With me is Jeff Sarver and John Carpenter, two great regional singer-performers from Northwest Indiana. Jeff has a brand new album. He's got many albums under his belt, but the new one is Scribbler on the Roof, and it was produced by John Carpenter. Tonight, we're going to hear songs like Snake of Fire, Long Before the Dinosaurs, and some of my other favorites, as well as some live music off the album performed in studio by John and Jeff. So stay with us. It's all coming up, and we're going to find out a lot more about these artists after your headlines here. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it, and we're making music live right now in the studio with me, special guests Jeff Sarver and John Carpenter. We're going to be featuring music off Jeff's latest album, Scribbler on the Roof, recorded at Thunderclap Studio in Hammond and produced by John Carpenter. We've got both of the gentlemen in the audience or in the studio today to play music, talk about this wonderful new album, which is saying a lot when I say it's probably the finest piece of music collectively that Jeff Sarver's ever released, because those that know Jeff know he's released some mighty fine albums over the years. And this is just the start of a new relationship between these two guys that I think we're going to see grow into something very fruitful. So let's let the music start right now, live in studio. John Carpenter and Jeff Sarver.
What a way to rise at night. A lot of distant fire high. Giving one hand to the ghost, higher spirits of the sewer, I suppose. A toast to the one who's talking to her, from the one who knows the most. The door of my night swings wide and spry. Love of my life, she said goodbye. And I'm wandering around the basement as I'm stumbling through the years, and everything seems so vacant, I just wanna disappear. What a way to ride the night. Everybody else is so alive. What a way to ride, alright. When only the rain remained and it lifted us down to where the river ran and hid the way in a sea of change. We were lost and never found. What a way to grind inside. My eyes of ice, mad hattering, the idiot of the tribe, with nothing left of everything but watching the world go by. What a way to rise. What a way to rise tonight. Turned around, I could be living in them woods or even sleeping with the fishes, but what I got, it ain't no good. Don't know how I'm gonna do this. What a way to ride the night. Everybody else is so alive. What a way to ride, all right. When only the rain remained and it lifted us down to where the river ran and hid the way in a sea of change. We were lost and never found. found we should have never stayed the same.
All right, live on the lakeshore in the studio with us, Jeff Sarver and John Carpenter.
Hello, Tom. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, man, I love this album. I got to tell you, when I heard you playing it live, some of the cuts anyway, at the Lake County Fair, I got very excited. And then, of course, we wound up playing the CD at the fair for the rest of that day.
I sure enjoyed hearing it at that volume, too. That was a first.
Now, that's a song off the new album, Scribbler on the Roof, which I had some comments. So when I posted that you were going to be on the show, they said, wow, Jeff Sarver released an album that actually has a title and not a number. Because you've done, what, 9 albums? Numbers?
Yes, yeah. 10's on the way in that series, but yeah, for sure. But this is a new trilogy and a neat experience, or it has been for me. You know, and I'm really happy to have you here, John, with me today discussing this one, because it's... And you've heard some of it, Tom, where it's he's definitely brought along a...
There's a ethereal darkness, a passion that I've never heard on your albums before. And you've always been a passionate songwriter.
Sure.
But I think the production really brought it out in you. And like I was saying, John, before we went on air, it kind of reminds me of the Johnny Cash stuff that he had done with Rick Rubin, where it was kind of that darkness that just kind of gives you goosebumps just hearing him sing.
Right, and very, very
mournful,
very live and spontaneous. You know, which I'm sure is the way that Johnny Cash recorded his final few records. And Jeff is very much in the moment when he records as well as when he performs. But when he records, he's the same way. I mean, he's very in the moment. He wants to get it on the first take if he can, and maybe the second take. If it takes longer than that, he moves on to something else. You know,
Was this your first time working in the studio with Jeff?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
What was your expectations having heard his past music when
he
came in?
I wasn't quite sure. You know how it would be to work with him, but it's been a joy. It really has. Yeah, he comes in with. Manic energy, I must say that.
I think he lives that way.
Yeah. And but it's he's a true artist. You know, his lyrics are phenomenal, and his passion for doing this is just unbelievable. Yeah.
Jeff, speaking of your lyrics, you've always been a follower, a fan, a devotee of Bob Dylan. We've talked about that many times. How influential has Dylan been on your lyrical content? And you mentioned one song in particular that basically was kind of a salute to Dylan in a nonchalant kind of way that only fans might catch. Tell me about the influence of Dylan on your writing.
It's a mighty big part of it for certain. But and we've talked about this before. I think it's almost more of a philosophy than a style, and that's probably to just keep reading, keep reading, And I have chased Dylan through the 13th century, 14th century, all these old tomes and texts and books, and truly he is so well read that that's where I find him unbeatable. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty sturdy with a pen. I really do. I ask anyone to take this album on and just sit back and enjoy it for what it is lyrically, if even so. Not to leave you out, John, because what John brings to me is like a texture and so many different amps and sounds and styles. And John, wouldn't you have to admit that there was definitely an inspired, wow, I like him too. I like Richard Thompson. I'd heard of Burt Gansch. I'm trying to stump him. He's trying to stump me. It's like, wow, we've got a little more in common here than, I mean, as much as I love the pen, I was raised, I've got 40 years on guitar now, and I love guitars, In the shape I'm in right now, I found John at the right time. And John would admit, I've been calling him for decades. Mm-hmm. We got to get together. I've heard so much about you.
This the right time then? What made it work this time?
Honestly, I would say I got hurt and I was laid up. And the songs piled up, and they piled up hardcore. And another part of this, the Alley Recording Company where I was doing my work closed in Valpo. And I needed something new. And I started listening to some of his work online. and getting up with what they're doing right now, said, yeah, I want to get over there. And I called him, and, you know, we booked a date. And no, we didn't. I booked him to record me live for a live show that never... isn't this funny, John? And here's another side of the Sarvamaniacism where I booked him last August 4th to do a live. I was going to do a Prince tribute at Front Porch, and we did as such. And then we got it back, and I started to listen to how good everything sounded and the playbacks. And I'm walking around the studio. It's my first time in there. I said, well, to heck with that. I'm not doing a tribute. I'm going to be making a record right now. And I literally didn't even have any songs at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I said, put this Prince thing on hold. It's like, you know, mid-August, and I want to get... you know, back to the board and get some of these songs. So I have many of them on the board because I've been working laid up for so long. But yeah, when I saw what was there, looking at the amps and the guitars, it was music porn, you know, for lack of a better term, production.
I like you know, that.
So I said, yeah, but and we ain't seen that Prince thing yet. Have we ever pulled the video up? I ordered a four-camera mounted recorded DVD of this, dropping hundreds of dollars. I said, you know what? Put that aside. I got a better idea, you know, and it's true. And Charlie said, you're kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I said, nope, stop the press. We're going to do a record.
We're going to completely do an about face here.
And it even got weirder, Tom, because we started sessions October 3rd on Mike Callimer's 50th birthday, a good buddy of mine. Hi, Mike. And I recorded with you for like 8 or 10 visits in October. It was bam, 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 like every 3 days. And he got better and better and better. And I had to stop the press on the 30th. I said, I need November off. I went back in November and rewrote 10 more songs with him in mind to come in and finish off that record. And I don't mean to boast, but I was so elated by his, wow, he can swell like this. He's got Ebos and just all this freakage. You know?
Well, let's play another song now. Are you going to play the last song live? Or can we play that off CD?
Let's play one off the record.
Okay.
Can we?
Can we do the last one? When we were talking about?
Yes. First Day of Fall, I want to say is, you know, that this is essentially, this was recorded pretty early on in October, and this album went on, we recorded this album through January, but this one stayed right at the top. We hit it right on the mark, like, wow.
And this is the one that has that little latent reference to Dylan. Explain that before, so they can listen to it.
This was the first song of the project because we, on the first day of fall, the Dylan album had come out, and I ran out to Best Buy and got the Fallen Angels, the new Dylan album. And I came home and it just ended. I mean, I went right to work. Charlie, I was writing the song in the car on the way home listening to Fallen Angels.
Wow.
It was that otherworldly, you know, in a way. And it's all true because, listen, guys, check this song out. First Day of Fall. Now, the first line is, the first day of fall, I saw the fallen angels calling me to call my name. And I've had people say, why are you always going to have the Luciferian angels? And like, come on back here, kid. And they say, no, it's a title of a Bob Dylan album. You know, relax.
All right, we're going to play it now again. This is off the latest album, Scribbler on the Roof. It's Jeff Sarver in the latest album, First Day of Fall, closing track.
Second day I knew, as always is the case with me, the music must get through. Third time's a charm, whatever the cause, ain't no harm in drawing straws. Fourth time around, five houses down, the liquor store of Old Town. Oh no, a six pack of hope, a little rope, there you go. It's always so. so I'll move along. As good as I'm gone, in a lifetime of song, I had a ball. First day of fall.
Sounds like Dracula's coffin opening for those fallen angels.
That was actually the studio door.
Was it really? What was with the guitar dropping at the end? Was that like drop the mic?
Yeah, well, it's you know, there's a lot of pain in this album, a lot of emotion going on, and I made it through it, and I'd had enough, and that was it. It was it
last song like, of the album. You're done.
Kaboom! And then the door slams. You know, I had to have that. It was hard to live with for months. It's still hard to live with, but. The true story is hard to live with, and it's staying in there.
I was listening to it today, you know, in preparation for this, and I totally forgot about it. And got to the end, and it makes you jump, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, wow.
This album, as I mentioned, you've released 9, correct? And 10 is on the way. You also had Penny Arcane
and a few other albums. Is the 18th
collected
solo
album. Okay.
18th solo album. Yeah.
To say you're prolific is kind of an understatement then. You're writing all the time.
I've been doing it for a lot of years now. 30 years this year. You know, truly, this trilogy of albums will mark the my 30-year anniversary in the biz.
Before we talk about the trilogy, which, of course, is a new step, I want to talk about something else. And I don't know how comfortable you are talking about it, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think it's very inspiring for other players and other people that may have had another experience in a completely different realm, whether you're in sports or dance or anything else. Sometimes accidents can happen that can squash your dreams.
Yeah.
You had that happen, but you refused to let it squash your dreams.
That's right.
And you have come back with the best album of your career, in my humble opinion.
I appreciate you putting it that way, Tom. I really do.
So let's share a little bit about what happened. You were playing everywhere. You had this unique style of playing that everybody always talked about, the way you were popping strings and doing mm-hmm. all the things you did. And then, obviously, like most musicians, you had a day job, and something happened on the job, and it almost prevented you from ever making music again.
Pick it up from there. I don't know what to say about it. It was horrible. You know what I mean? I got my hand run over by rammed up into a pulley and a big old industrial fence that cut 3 fingers off down to the skin. I mean, dangling. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was 2, and then 1 was crushed. The pinky was crushed. So when it went to the surgery stages, of which it took 4 of them, I think it was, truly, to get through all this crap, the 2 that were put back on weren't taking real well, and I was facing serious infections and all kinds of...
You could have lost those fingers, yeah.
Yeah, and any other's even a time when the surgeon had to be straight up with me. He goes, you know what, these might not work again. You need to think about, would you be better without them than with them? And I felt, well, gee, I guess you got to
try. How do you make that decision? Yeah.
It was a workers' comp situation, so I was not in a place where I can afford this or, you know, like I had to take, there were options for me. Thank God for that, too. You know, that I will say that work comp covered it all, but and with that they were you know, they tried a couple of different things and it pulled me through, but it was just awful.
Now, how long until you got the use back in your
hand? Bless Mike Gallimore's heart, he came out with me and toured around for the summer, because I couldn't play the guitar for six, 7 months, and not even proper for 10 months. So it was a clipboard laptop lifestyle. I took to writing a lot more lyrics. This is part of the any progressions you might feel or sense in the, you know, I like to believe you do so much of this, you should be getting better and better at it. You mm-hmm. know, if you're feeling the inspired, you know, I don't mind saying it. I believe Scribbler on the Roof sounds like a truly inspired work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's very cohesive. A lot of this is John. He's just kept me. We have been through 38 songs. I counted them today, John. 38 songs we've laid down there. And it's not been a year yet. So, you know, I can't say enough about the vibes I get from him that makes this stuff symbolize the way it did. It's a nice, gloomy, you know, I've been through some stuff here recently. It's been rough. You know, the marriage failed. I almost lost these fingers. A cat that's very dear to me died. It was actually the neighbor's cat, Nectar. It's another song on the album. I love that song. I was so manic. Yeah, I was writing songs about the neighbor's pets. You know, it got that weird.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Just
that's,
you know,
that's a great song, though. I love that song.
Living on a porch, and you know, I was in a cast a lot of time. And when I got infected, I was in the IV every night, and I mean, it was bad. I was both arms tied up for the first 2 months. Situation where nothing was working right, from sleep to eat. The antibiotics were just killing me. You know, I'm a little guy. That stuff started eating me up, all my muscle mass and everything. I mean, it's just looking horrible. You know, I'm still trying to get back from all that. It was just bad news.
When you played at the fair, I was watching you because I'd seen you play before. I hadn't seen you play since the accident. I thought you played as well or better than you ever have.
I appreciate that, Tom. I'm focusing. I'm really focusing. I mean, with everything I have, I'm more focused now than ever. You know, that there's no doubt about it. Maybe a little bit more, all right, you got your hand back, you know.
Right.
I'm back to running for my life, you know. I'm not running for my supper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running for my life with this music. So,
now, how long has it been out, this album?
It came out April 20th. Huh, funny that. It's 4:19, you got a minute?
All right, on that note, let's play another song. You want to do one on your own here?
Yeah, I'll play a song. This is called Bumpin' the Night. A blotchy blue and purple cycle, symptomatic moon. I rode the vulture finger path on down the dirty Swan Lake Saloon, where the crew gets kinda rude. They get in the mood to brood all the aches and grabs that it takes getting through bump in the night. Rest of our lives, I'm afraid we gotta make the dark queen out of sight. It's alright, a bump in the night. There's always something new with the darkness every time we do anything we choose. A train wreck coming through, bomb in the night. For the rest of our lives, I'm afraid we gotta make the dark clean out of sight. It's alright, bomb in the night. J Car.
Bump in the Night. New stuff. Jeff Sarver, you know, off them, the new album.
Them Dracula and Frankenstein movies came out, those posters said, oh, beware of things that go bump in the night.
There's always like a sub story to your songs. At I like that. A lot
three.
Of imagery.
There's got to be three of them, Tom, or I won't be able to find my way out of them.
You know what I like about this album, too? It's unique, is the illustrations. It's black and white. It's as sparse as the music in many ways. It reflects the music inside. And I love the line shot of you performing live.
I've got to mention this, too. It's another part of the tragedy and the bummer. It's a trilogy of tragedy as well as it is of music, in that the artist, a very dear friend of mine, Bill Bodner, was he died here just last month. And he was my teacher back in high school. I met him. I knew him since 82.
Art teacher?
Yeah, yeah. And he was a theater director. So, you know, I learned an awful lot from him. And as I have said about Dylan, Bill Bodner was really something special to me. You know what I mean? He brought me to every Richard Brautigan and weirdo kind of steal this book, you know, all the crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he was 68 when he passed. He was right there through the 60s and all that madness that I'm in love with. And I don't know whether he took a likening to me or I would not leave him alone, but
maybe a little of both.
As time, we've done a lot of projects together. I have something that's going to be coming out in the near future that I did with him. That's called Wilderness of Glass.
Where did he teach?
He taught at Portage 40 years.
Was he teaching
over there?
And when he passed?
No, I believe he retired in like 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And cancer got him. I love him dearly. You know, this is really sad because last time I was in session with you on July 19th, we were late that day because he was late getting the artwork over. He managed to finish the cover art for the second album in the series. And he brought it over, and it was last time I saw him, and I was running out the door to get to the studio. And he's like, you know, well, I'll get with you when I get back. We'll shrink this and see what it looks like. And he just didn't make it. Just days later, he died. Mm. So I did not even get to say goodbye.
But his work will be on the second album as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to reach out to somebody and try and finish the third one. I'd like to use something else of his. You know, he was the guy that did all his covers for his plays, and there's 40 years of them, two or three a year. So there's a lot of work out there to choose from. But my God, he was one of my dearest friends, you know. And it was just, it just seemed as so, you know, how, for the way things have been going for me lately, it just kept weighing and banging and banging. And
you've had a lot of tragedy, and something else I want to note here, because a lot of my listeners also will know this gentleman, and it was Stephen V.
He passed away
last year, and he's dedicated on here as well.
Steve was my guitar technician for the Against Attempt in 06. We were very close, and he was just crazy enough to do that with me. I love him. You know, I love him for doing that. He was definitely a lifer in the rock and roll realm. You know, he was mad, bad, and dangerous to know. And that's all good stuff where I live.
Right. Last time I saw him was the Alice Cooper show.
Yeah.
You know,
but
he was
a real rock and roll rebel. And I love him for that. You know, I was telling Charlie earlier today, I don't know how to talk about this in any kind of positive light. The music is gloomy enough, but I could come to tears talking about a neighbor's cat, you know, and the power of that one song. And we don't have all night for all that. But yeah, this album is, it means some heavy business. It really does. It's, and you know, it's not just my story. There's a lot of people hurting out there. And sooner or later, I hope to have an audience, you know, for this. I mean, I'd like there to be light at the end of the tunnel, but in a way, a crazy way, this is dark stuff. It's kind of a to-be-continued thing, not necessarily, wait a minute, I think I see a spark. And the sparks are always coming as songs, but how to feed them, where to put them, how to feed me, it's getting weird.
You have 10 songs on this album. You've got three albums in the works here. You mentioned 38 songs in all. How did you decide the sequencing, which songs to use, that this does work so cohesively?
I came to this project with 14 songs.
Okay.
And we replaced 10 of them by the end of the first 30 days. So just to put how we came, I came in with that many selected. There were probably 70 on the table. I've been writing for 2 years. All right. The accident was in March, top of March, 15. We started session work October 3rd, 2016. You know, so it was It was a long time because there was a lot of stuff. There's more. There's 20 more to be laid. I'm behind on funds to finish what's really truly here. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to boast, Tom, but I write like mad. It's a maddening, you know, for better or worse. It's going to keep happening this way. Now so what would happen is, and I think I said this earlier, we did 30 days together. I realized how this guy could play. I had these 14 songs. I said, stop the press. I need to go home. I need 30 days to. I want to rewrite this whole thing. I think I even told him then, seeing what he does and what he has, and you can hear that stuff is, mm-hmm. and I'm talking, you know, for those of you that, you know, aren't hip, swelling, you know, when you fade in with the volume, it sounds like whales or backwards. Mm-hmm. Johnny's got all that going on. You know, I'd look at him and say something, can you give me a, yeah, I think I got that over here. I'll say, well, that sounds neat. What happens when you put it on 10? He goes, well, I've never put it on 10. All right, that's it. We got it. Can you clone that? Can you double that? Now, play that backwards? Jeff, it's white noise, you know.
With the next two albums, John, as a producer, where do you see this going?
Well, I think that the next record will be very similar to the first, I think, but a little more depth as far as the textures and the sound. A little more to it, I think.
A little more parts, like, you know, bass, you know, is showing up everywhere. I think you're getting a little thicker, but same mood. Yeah.
You know, Jeff, the first record, Jeff and I, we were learning how to work together. Mm-hmm. You know, and now the second record, we kind of know how, you know, each other likes to work, and we know how to bounce things off each other, and I know how he likes to. He likes to move fast, you know, and so I'm with him on that. You know, I try to keep things moving. And
you can, too. You can move fast. A lot of people buckle. Are they, Jeff, get out of here. I'll get more done without you in here. John is right there with me. He goes right in there with me.
And Jeff isn't lying when he makes noises with his mouth. He'll get right up to my ear and, rah! You
know, how do I get a, is that a flange? Or is that, he's like, you're going to get punched. You know what?
It's like.
And the last session, he finally told me to shut up. I've been over there for almost a year. He finally just, shut up. And I said, ooh. Charlie let me know, too. I got home. He goes, did you hear John tell you to shut up? Yeah, just making sure. Make sure you caught that. I said, oops. Oh, so now we're getting somewhere.
So when will, obviously, this one just came out, and you've got to market this, but when do you anticipate the second and third albums coming?
Let me get back to some more sadness. I was wanting that album out, and I wanted to hand one to Bill, my artist. I wanted to be able to do that, and I was racing
hard for
that.
Did he hear any of the music?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He heard eight of the finished songs for the second. He heard the first album. We got the first album out, of course. He had that one. But I was just racing so hard to get it done. I was seeing the proofs of what he was bringing, and I thought, man, I want to get this packaged and done. You know, I want to hand him this. And it didn't happen. So frankly, in the interim, I'm writing songs about him that want to be in one of these records. And I knew this might be an eventuality in this project because, he sat down and told me, I don't think I'm going to be here at Halloween because we had talked about a Halloween date for the release of the second album, The Streets of Garryton. And so I started rushing. I got to John. I said, can I get this done the top of September and shipped? And he's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm crazy. And I know that's a no, but we just do what we can. And then, Bill passed, and I sat back like, oh. And I went back into
a funk.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, by that point, the Streets of Garryton record was lifting me up like, but listen to this music. You know, and Bill was not in good shape when he delivered that that cover. And mm-hmm. It just isn't a pleasant memory. I felt, you know, I felt he looked rough, and I felt like I would have loved to have just sat down and stayed with him for a bit or hung mm-hmm. out, you know, and we didn't get to do that.
Well, let's play a song now about someone that sat with you and helped you when you were in your cast and with your IVs, and that is Nectar.
Oh, can we?
Let's do that one. This is for little Nectar on his porch and over the Rainbow Bridge.
Everybody knew him. as he'd come wandering through. Had a place at every table up and down the avenue. Just a lover on a mission, he was king of coming around. Watching him sitting there thinking with his paws on the poles of old town. He was fearless in his fortune, he fought awful hard for love. He was older when it happened, something really messed him up. Face off, one thing or another was a long haul. Had it tougher than the others, got a new job, hoping to recover it all. Sweet nectar, nobody cool as you were. Talk about a true survivor and the memories I'll remember. So come on in, begin again. Let us be forgiven for our sins. Life is all at hand right here, as our sorrow, hope, and tears. Lift me down my walking frown. I think I'll wear my cane around. Today's the day they put the king of old town in the ground.
Nectar. Song about a cat that kept you company. And that reminds me of my cat that I just lost, who was also broken and beaten. He was a rescue, and his tail was broken multiple times. His hips were shot.
Yeah.
He was deaf. Actually, it was a she, but I always thought of him as a he. He was my buddy. He was my TV buddy. Now he sits in ashes in my house by the TV.
Nectar, I don't know if I told you, but I think he was 18 when he died, but at 15... I think they said he was sleeping under one of the cars in the back, and they backed over and ran his face over.
Oh, my gosh.
Ripped his jaw off, and he had to have a reconstructive jaw. And he was so old at the time, there was talk about you should probably just put him down.
Right.
This might be really hard on him. But that's why I'm singing, talk about a true survivor. And his accident happened like 6 months before mine. So you can imagine with a reconstructive face, he's...
Right.
He had several months of not even eating right. So he would just come over there and lay. It started by laying on me on the porch outside in the sun, as it started to get. The accident was in 1st of March, and then as it got warm out, I was keeping quiet, but I was turning into quite a Jack from The Shining. I don't mind saying it. I'm facing never using my hand again. My favorite instrument is, frankly, the piano, and my piano playing is just about destroyed. I mean, this is the best I can do on this record, and I like it. And I'm proud of it, but it's kids stuff, and as is my finger style from now on. So that's not going to be an easy.
But you still do a lot of the finger popping and things you always did. I mean, you are exciting to watch play. You don't just strum and pick. You're bouncing. You're dancing with that guitar.
Yeah.
And I think that's inspiring.
I sing. My voice and guitar kind of dance. They do a dance together for sure.
You don't sit still. I mean, it is. It's like a kata. It's like a musical kata.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
It is. It is without a doubt.
So when are you, has this officially been released yet? Is there a release party? Did we miss it?
For what?
For this album?
Yeah, no, April 22nd was the release date. Official was I wanted on 420, but our first CD party was at the Front Porch. And we did several throughout the... as a matter of fact, this tour wrapped up with you at the Lake County Fair. So we're, headlong into Streets of Garryton, and I'm very anxious to play you some of this stuff. It kind of grew into a trilogy. I knew I wanted a black and white affair, I was sensing that. And then the songs piled up, and I started feeling a gray area. And then a couple other people died. And it just kept getting grayer. And
now, for those that aren't familiar with your music,
and when you say this, John, this is no joke. These are not songs in the can where they're filler songs. We're working to achieve a certain. Closure. Closure is for bank accounts. I want to finish this music. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are finishing with this trilogy. You know,
well, you mentioned Black and White and Grays, and
being sleeping alone for the rest of my life to losing your mentor, and wow, should I ever get a cat again? I almost killed myself over the neighbor's cat.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Kidding.
Well, your first nine albums that we were not your first, but your last nine albums were all based on numbers and colors,
mm-hmm.
and now you're talking Black and White and Grays. So that shows me right there. There's been a big shift in your dynamic as a performer, as a writer,
moving away from the color and into the. And, you know, I want to say that I think the word is texture, because John Carpenter has inspired me to that point with the guitar. I will say I'm so busy with the pen, I'd rather finger style and work the acoustic to a new height than mess around with any more effects or electric guitars. I have very little patience for that. But I will pick apart his all day, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, usually for the better, like which one of these nine are good when they're all dynamite, you know. These are all incredibly good problems with him. But it does ignite something in me that says, all right, let's even out the pen and the folky in you and get back to some rock realism. He's got a fantastic band, the Nomad Planets. We need to talk about these guys for a minute at least.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
That
I'd love to have them on, by the way. I haven't seen those guys in a long time.
Tonight.
We'd love to.
You know, in my mind, this is the greatest rock and roll band in the area. I love their sound. This is a chemistry that is effective.
I remember Mark from the old days.
Now, you know I like some Americana and some acoustic, right? And all that, but no, this stuff is thoroughbred rock and roll, you know, where I come from. And the words, you know, I love Mark. My Beck, his lyrics are just, he's really something. Mm-hmm. Look into these guys. Did you bring a couple CDs or something?
I might have some on the car.
Man, this is some real, Tom's got listen to it.
I think I've got, yeah. Man, well, I got your joke. Santa one.
Yeah.
Was it the Drunken Santa?
Yeah.
I used to play that at my other station.
But, you know,
that was
also
a lot of fun.
It's getting easier for me to see how with drums over there and everything in-house and all set up, he's got a wonderful studio over there. Any amp in the world you need type of sound. I mean, it's just all there.
Did you
really
use tube amps on this stuff? Because it's got that warmth.
Yes. Yeah,
I find that with a lot of the stuff that comes out of your studio, there's a warmth that I don't hear in other studios that are fine studios and fine producers, but they don't have the John Carpenter warmth. And that comes out in like the Eric Lambert albums and people like that that you've worked with over the years. You have a signature sound. I can listen to an album and 9 out of 10 times pick out that it's yours or not.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, I mean, you do have your own sound.
Yeah. I feel like it's some of the most memorable music, you know, on that first or second listen, and I mean that, John. I really do. It's really good, strong stuff, you know. I don't know what else to say. I wish I had it right here. I'd say, hey, play this or what have you, you know. But and it's part of this energy too. My energy is manic. His knowledge and energy, you know, he's got a couple years on me, but he's bringing more of that rock and roll energy and big picture shoes on, mm-hmm. for a rock band sound, which is probably what my music needs right about our fourth album together.
And I've told Jeff, he's got some songs that I think would be perfect for a band, you know, to play. And we've talked about doing that. And he's even
having the planets back, John?
Yeah.
Or Jeff, rather?
For a recording, yeah.
Okay.
We've talked about
it. It's not an easy thing to do projectively from the idea that everybody's busy, and it'll cost some money. But, man, if I were to drop money on, you know what, I want the whole band, that's mm-hmm. the band.
But you haven't done a lot of band stuff lately.
I haven't.
Is it foreign to you?
One song in the 10 series was a band effort, and then I did do an album with Marty Carr. We did not get it out, but, you know, I did the... We played a couple cuts from it on the last show. He, you know, we revamped Doghouse and a couple of things into kind of a rock album. Mm-hmm. But it just never made it to fruition because I run out of gas. I run out of interest in that rock sound. I'd love to be, actually. I would not mind doing a rock band project with a guy with a, you know, a second writer.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be super.
Well, that sounds like something you and Mark
what
are
we're
meant
doing,
to do.
I
then.
Think mm-hmm. it's you know, I mean, sure, I'm paying him for it, but it's still. You know, what he brings to it is pretty amazing, you know. I mean, I'm not the easiest guy to work with. I know it's...
No,
I want
a speedy
delivery, and I'm, you know. We got to get this thing done before I hate it, you know. That's all there is to it, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's do another song. You want to do Dinosaurs?
Sure, I'd love to play that for
let's
you.
Let's do that. This is Long Before the Dinosaurs. It's track number 8 on this brand new album. Again, Scribbler on the Roof. We're going to talk a little about that title. I know it's a line in the opening song. Or no, absurd is the word. It's a line in there.
We got to play that one tonight.
But we got to do it quick.
Oh,
we're running out of time already. We got about 10 minutes left.
Okay, we got to play Absurd is the Word, the recording record version after this.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Let's do Dinosaur and then we'll play Absurd is the Word.
Getting bigger every year. I'm hopelessly outnumbered up in here. In the air of the chair bound, and everybody dumbing down. I'm putting on a clown frown. I suffer in a small town. We were here back then, long before the dinosaurs, and we keep coming back again for more. Not too late to hesitate. Colonizing, death defying, there will be no denying. We were here back then, swaying on the bones of soul. A 13th century radio, and we were here back then, long before the dinosaurs. More than keeping score, long before the dinosaurs. The objects in the mirror are getting bigger every year. I'm hopelessly outnumbered up in here.
My favorite song on the album, and that's saying a lot because I like them all. Snake Thank of Fire you. Is another one I like, but you want to get to Absurd is the Word.
I think Absurd is the Word is my clinically favorite. It's like if I was ever worried about myself in the making of this record, it was in the making of this song. The lyrics are getting a little, well, I've tried everything, and this is really, Wendy, you know, I'm not going to hurt you.
It's the song from which the title has gotten, too, Scribbler on the Roof.
Is it in there?
I think it is.
Is it in? It's not in there, is it?
Is it? It's either that one or the first one. I think you do.
On the album? I don't know. Play it anyway.
All right. We're going to play it. Is there a, before we go, just in case we run out of time, is there a website or anywhere they can follow you right now?
Yeah. No. This Saturday night, I'm in Miller at the, it's like a block party at Flamingo Pizza.
Flamingo Pizza, great pizza there.
Yeah, and then I'm at the Miller Farm Market the following weekend on the Sunday.
Okay. But, maybe you should post some of your dates on Thunderclap site.
I'm pretty much underground right now, and I'm going to stay that way until we finish this trio of maniacism.
Well, this is track two. Hopefully, we'll be able to say goodbye on the other side, but you never know. This is Absurd is the Word.
I have laid the groundwork. I can't see the skies when the scribbler lights up with those stars in his eyes. I'm open a moment, the gist of a crash. No winds with the aimless, all outs with the trash. The tin Indian strikes again and again.
is hardly a place for the future. The vision is broken, my fingers are blurred. The line seems to lead to the sewer. The spirit is choking, absurd is the word. Throw these intruders off of the set, whose purpose is worthless, their ears are all wet. We're cooking with gas out here over the phone, through goblets of time and stones we have thrown. One ragged nerve left in a life out of step. Absurd is the word and it's not over yet. My senses are strayed where my psyche is not. I'm completely aware it's not gonna stop. These things in the front are becoming the past. My backdrop is bored with the rest of the cast. How rightly I wrote it all wrong, now it's kicking my ass. One ragged nerve left, a lifetime of sin, and absurd is the word all over again. Walking the wheel, as hard as it is to resist. I'm reeling in zeal with manic appeal, and I won't be falling for any of this. Throw these intruders right off of the set. The purpose is closure, I'm willing to bet. We're cooking with gas out here under the stars, through gobbets of time with manic guitars. One ragged nerve in a life out of step. Absurd is the word, and that's all.
Absurd is the word. It's no longer bird is the word. It's absurd is the word. That is the second track off Jeff Sarver's Scribbler on the Roof. I want to thank John Carpenter and Jeff Sarver for being with us tonight.
I love you, Tom. It's great to be here.
Also, thanks to Charlie. Show Charlie on the feed here, because Charlie's been taking pictures all night that will soon be seen on Facebook. And we're going to leave the way we came in, with you guys playing us out.
I can dig that.
Thank you very much. John, always a pleasure.